It's hard to know what to do next in the stock market.
Where am I? What am I doing here?
That's because one expert's rally is another's prelude to a correction.
Of course, people do go both ways.
One manager's buy is another man's sell.
Have you come to any conclusions yet?
Each day, the Money Life Market Call brings you a different expert's take on where to invest and what to avoid.
Now listen, Grapehead, I'll explain it so even you can understand it.
Just as important, you'll find out the reasons behind that thinking, and that should make your next financial decisions easier and smarter.
We do have a system, and it works.
It's the Money Life Market Call. Now.
The only reason we're here is to make catty observations and rude remarks. And that was nothing good on TV.
And we like hearing from money managers who maybe we haven't been exposed to before. And I know that's one of your favorite things when we bring somebody new in for the Money Life Market Call. That's exactly what we're doing today, because my guest is Garvin J. Bush. He's portfolio manager for the Shelton Green Alpha Fund. NEXTX. That's right. NEXTX is the ticker symbol. If you like what you hear and you want to get more information, go to greenalphaadvisors.com. By the way, the firm is on Twitter at Alpha Verde. I'll let you figure that one out for yourself if you haven't picked it up already. And Garvin is on Twitter. He's at Garvin1313. But right now he's on Money Life. Garvin J. Bush, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Chuck. It's great to be here.
So we always start with methodology, because the truth is buy, sells, and holds mean nothing until you understand how somebody does it. So explain what it is that you're doing and how you come up with your buys, sells, and holds.
Sure, Chuck. Here at Green Alpha Advisors, we run a series, including NEXTX, thank you for mentioning, a series of portfolios that in the main are equity growth portfolios. And in looking for growth, our key thing we're interested in is innovation, and typically, although not always, it is technology leveraged innovation. And in particular, these innovations should be looking to solve some kind of a problem that needs solving in the global economy, and largely those are around systemic risks. We focus around the big systemic risks with the power to undermine the global economy, associated with things like resource scarcity and climate change, and other systemic risks that we think are genuine threats that are really calling out for a solution. Then we'll look for what are the practical solutions that make really good business sense, sector by sector throughout the economy, and go looking then for companies in those sectors that are doing well, that are the most innovative, that have the best business case, and that are making the most money, and therefore the best potential for return to their shareholders.
And is there a specific metric that you're looking for in terms of you want a certain soft valuation, or you want, you know, some sort of total return projection, or something on growth? What is it that you're going to look for once you find those sweet spots and the areas that are right for you to be looking at?
Sure, yeah. You know, what I described, I think you correctly identified, was the top down. What are we really looking for thematically? Then in terms of specific stock selection, we are most interested in good valuations of fast-growing companies. Sometimes people call that GARP, growth at a reasonable price, but we're also interested in deep value and in the great fundamentals of expanding top line, growing bottom line, and so in between, hopefully some margin expansion. We like low debt, and then we like good valuation metrics. I like to see a nice low price to book married to a great earnings per share growth rate, all with a moderate debt. For me, those things also combined with a company that is helping to do something better than the economy has done it in previous years is the sweet spot. I think that's a powerful 1-2 punch that provides great growth opportunity going forward.
Okay. So we have an idea that, you know, ultimately we're much more likely to find an infrastructure company, something that is working on solving infrastructure problems or things like that, than we are to find the company that's trying to design the next fabulous breakfast cereal.
We get that
part of it, but not every industry is created the same. So with your top-down look, what are the industries? Let's start with the industries, and then we'll move on to a couple of specific names. But what are the places where you are finding that ability to make a difference going forward?
I think the first, we do sometimes run the risk of being considered managers entirely in the sector. We're far from it. But I think the first and most obvious place to look for solutions-based innovation is in energy. We think renewable energies are very interesting growth areas going forward. They exhibit both of the things I just mentioned that we look for. Well, all three things. From the top down, they represent a solution to a systemic risk associated with pollution and the health outcomes of that and the global warming consequences of burning fossil fuels to make electricity. But also, they are among the cheapest sources of new electricity generation, in addition to being the fastest growing sectors, adding the most jobs in the economy. So it really is that 1-2 punch, both economically very competitive and starting to exhibit great business results, and also solving for a systemic risk, so adding value on the macroeconomic level as well. Now, we do look for solutions in the economy across sectors. We think of our portfolios, including NextX, as all cap, cross-sector, cross-industry, and global. We want to find the most interesting, innovative solutions wherever we can find them. So we're not simply interested in something like a U.S. large cap. We really want to look for the most interesting companies wherever they might be hiding out.
So what's a name or two of companies that make it through the screens?
So in the energy, I think looking at the next 5 years to decade of very interesting growth prospects, there are some very underpriced, very quality names in solar right now. I love two in the United States, First Solar and SunPower. First Solar, first of all three of these are remarkably low valuations, given their growth, given not only their past track records of growth, but also their, to the extent that they provide guidance. First Solar doesn't. But either their guidance or consensus estimates of their growth rates, First Solar trades barely above book. Here is a company that in its niche within solar photovoltaic is the world leader. This is the thin film, the cadmium telluride, if you know a little bit about that. It's the thin film. They're about the only scale maker of that in the United States. GE was competing with them a little bit, but they decided to throw in the towel on the thin film solar business and sold their part, that part of their business to First Solar, which now in all but name has a monopoly on that. So they've got this great moat around their IP. They're able to make solar power cheaper than almost anyone else. They've got the lowest cost per watt of installed once you get a module from First Solar installed. And they're growing very rapidly, and they're a very well-run business with a very hard-nosed management team. You know, they're not in it because they're green. They figured it out.
Okay.
That's an interesting company.
So that's First Solar, FSLR. What about SunPower you mentioned?
I do like SunPower. That's out of San Jose. They're a great complement to First Solar in that they make the most technologically advanced thick panel. So not the thin film printed panel that First Solar makes, but the large multi-crystalline solar panel, kind of the thicker one that you see on a lot of people's roofs. These guys are the tech leaders. Here again, I'm looking for innovation, and I'm looking for a moat around their intellectual property that's going to make it tough for challengers to run right up on them. Their panels convert sunlight into electricity at the rate of about 24%, which is the world record for commercially available installable panels. And in addition, they have a 40-year warranty on those, which is the longest in the industry. So they're very high quality. So if you put a SunPower panel up on your roof, it's just going to mint electricity for you for 40 years. Once your payback period is over from the CapEx of putting that in there, you're basically just getting paid by the sun, just printing money. It's a fantastic business, and they're also growing quite fast.
Now, what makes you sell something? What makes you give up on a stock?
Our sell discipline revolves not around, well, have we made X percent on it? Are we up 25%, 50%, 100% on a name? We're more interested in a constant reevaluation of the fundamentals. So if a company still looks good, if all the reasons we bought it are still there, then we're still interested in it. So if the macroeconomic picture is still good, if it's in an industry that's growing, if it's in an area that needs addressing, and if the fundamentals are still good, again, I'll mention that we like growing top line, growing bottom line, expanding margin, low debt, and cheap valuation multiples. If all those things still exist, then I'm still interested. A Chinese solar name we like called Canadian Solar, it is domiciled in Toronto, but mostly it's in China, you know, has had some nice periods of run-up over the last couple of years and yet rarely gets above its book value. Even though it's a fast-growing company with huge prospects for forward growth, so even if it has 100% run-up, it's only going to be trading at about 1.5x book. I'm still going to be interested in holding that. I won't say, great, I've earned my 2x my purchase price and now subsequently I'm out. I'm going to say, no, the fundamentals are all still there. I'm going to continue to hold it. On the other hand, if the fundamentals deteriorate or if a company gets ahead of itself to the point where the valuations no longer look interesting, we will go ahead and sell, but again, not based on a percent return target. A good example of that is Whole Foods Market. I did mention that we're in other sectors and industries besides just energy. We do like the natural and organic food space. A couple of years ago, we sold Whole Foods because it just got way over its ski tips on valuation. They were going to have to sell every head of lettuce sold in the United States for 5 years to justify their valuation, while competition from the organic section, you know, at your local Safeway was starting to heat up. So we did manage to sell that near its peak, but based on fundamentals, not price targets. So that's our sell discipline, Chuck.
Well, now we're going to find out whether you're buying or selling some stocks that my audience is particularly interested in.
Wait, hold it.
You got to know when to hold up.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
It's hold it or fold it time with Garvin J. Bush, portfolio manager for the Shelton Green Alpha Fund. NextX is the ticker. GreenAlphaAdvisors.com. They're on Twitter at Alpha Verde. Garvin is on Twitter at Garvin1313. You know how hold it or fold it works. If you want to participate directly, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at MoneyLifeShow.com. We're going to start with two requests that kind of pick up on the energy sector that we were talking about. The first is from Dale in London, Ohio, wants to know about Duke Energy, D-U-K.
All right, Dale, thanks. Thanks for suggesting that one. Duke is a problem for me in terms of its liabilities. I'm going to say fold them. It's America's top power company for total annual carbon footprint. It gets about 45% of its power from coal, which is the dirtiest and least economically competitive means of making power. If it wasn't in a federally regulated monopoly, it would be having a very hard time competing. You know, they've got 19 gas-fired plants, 24 oil and gas-fired plants, and they've just been very slow to understand that renewables, wind and solar particularly, are rapidly becoming the most cost-competitive forms of generation. In addition, they've got some big liabilities. They've got 30 coal ash sites that are contaminating water in North Carolina, and Duke itself says those are going to cost more than $10 billion to fix. So unwillingness to innovate is a forward risk, and their liabilities present a present risk, so fold them.
Whoa, dumber than advertised.
That's a sell, a fold, on Duke Energy, D-U-K.
Yeah.
Joe in Colorado Springs wants to know about Marathon Oil Corporation, MRO.
Well, with MRO, the decline in the oil price is hitting them hard. Business operations for their Q1 posted a record loss of $239 million, and so they've been slashing costs in response. But even with those, Marathon's crude is still produced at a loss of about $9 per barrel, even with the recent modest recovery in the price per barrel, and their cash burn rate is starting to raise concerns about liquidity. I don't think they're going to go bankrupt. But should the oil commodity downturn persist, and, you know, Chuck, if it's up to Saudi Arabia and Iran, it looks like the slump is going to persist for a while longer, you got to fold. In fact, you might even want to have some puts in case oil falls back below $35.
What about my dreams? What about my money?
Yeah, well, if you want to keep your dreams and your money, you just heard a sell, a fold on Marathon Oil Corporation, MRO. Now, our last three requests today, well, they could make you rich.
I'm talking about getting very, very rich.
Now, I'm actually talking about three requests that come from guys named Rich. The first two are from Rich in Orchard Beach. First, he wanted to know about Porsche Automobile Holding. That's P-O-A-H-Y.
Well, who doesn't love Porsches, right? They're fast and sexy and fun, but, you know, Porsche is really P-O-A-H-Y. It's a holding company that holds 100% of the old Porsche AG, but it's also the major shareholder in Volkswagen with about 51% of the voting rights. So they really do control VW. And, Chuck, here again, I'm going to mention I'm worried about innovation risk with those guys. They are showing some worrying signs, both risk-wise and in terms of innovation stagnation. Their emission scandal is a big deal. Bloomberg has said that VW faces costs that could top $30 billion and a big hit to its reputation that could erode sales for years. They're being sued for almost $4 billion over the diesel scandal by CalPERS, and uncertainty around all their potential claims make it difficult to invest. They've already set aside $18 billion accrual for these potential costs. And now I find this interesting. It's a little less tangible, but along with Shell, they appear to be hoping to block Europe's push for electric cars and move for more electric cars and more efficient cars by proposing instead that we stay on internal combustion but try to use other methods like cap and trade. So it looks like what you've got there is a culture that first tried to cheat on emissions rules and did get away with cheating for years causing who knows what health and environmental damage, and that now appears to be attempting to stifle EV innovation rather than innovate and participate in it. You know, Chuck, it kind of reminds me of GM in the 80s. They refused to innovate much, and they got their lunch eaten by far more innovative Japanese rivals. And that can happen faster than you think. You know, in the 70s, no one thought GM would ever need a government bailout.
Right.
So I'm afraid on Porsche, you got to sell.
That's a sell. It's a crash sound is what that was. On Porsche Automobile Holding, P-O-A-H-Y. And, of course, if you happen to have Volkswagen, which would be V-L-K-P-Y, presumably there was a sell in there on that stock as well.
Now, Rich, you know it.
Rich in Orchard Beach, Maryland, had a second request. This one was for Hannon Armstrong Sustainable Infrastructure Capital, H-A-S-I.
Hold them, Chuck. Buy it, in fact. Hannon Armstrong, it's a financial services firm, and what they do is they aggregate assets in multiple categories, all pertaining to clean energy and energy efficiency in real estate projects. They've got a great diversified portfolio of high credit quality assets. It makes it really the rarest of animals. Strong fundamental growth play, but with a yield comparable to AAA debt, and the div yield is currently above 6%. They've got a consistent track record of delivering on earnings and dividends, so upside potential with increased pipeline, broadening their market exposure and visibility, all while paying 6%. Buy, buy, buy.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
Although I should have played this one. Because he said, bye, bye, bye on Hannon Armstrong Sustainable Infrastructure, H-A-S-I. Last, in the very limited time we've got left, for a Rich in Chicago, it's Blackbaud Incorporated, BLKB.
You know, I really like what this business does, CRM and other software for specifically for nonprofits. So I love the business, but the problem with it is really around two things. The valuation is very high and competition is very tough. There's nothing stopping a nonprofit from using a big commercial CRM competitor like Salesforce or Oracle at all. And on the valuation side, they have shown good revenue growth, but struggling to translate that into earnings. Cash flows went down from $30 million in 2005 to minus $200,000 in 2015, and margins are getting worse. What's the most worrying about Blackbaud, though, is that its valuation is so high that it implies it's going to generate more revenue than its entire addressable market of nonprofits that require CRM even is market size-wise. So unless they have a really nice pullback, I got to say fold them.
It's topped out. I say we sell now.
Yep. It's gotten to where it's a sell on Blackbaud, ticker symbol BLKB. And Garvin, this was great. I wish we had more time. We don't. So you're just going to have to come back in a couple months and do this with us again.
I would love to, Chuck. It's been a lot of fun.
Garvin J. Bush, portfolio manager for the Shelton Green Alpha Fund, NextX, greenalphaadvisors.com, at Alpha Verde on Twitter, at Garvin1313 to follow Garvin personally. Hey, we're just about done with today's show, but just about means not quite. Come back and we'll wrap things up right after this message.